Today's scripture comes from John chapter 20, the first 18 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken our Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Spirit of God, fall afresh on us this day. Open our eyes, because without you, we just don't understand. Amen. It's difficult to follow Jesus. This is something that I think our culture and our church cultures try to downsell. We try to say, "Oh, it's not that bad. I mean, it's actually pretty nice. We get grace and all those good things, and it doesn't really matter if you do something wrong because you're forgiven." But really and truly, to follow Jesus is really difficult. The disciples learned this over and over again. It was especially difficult to follow Jesus during Holy Week. Jesus seemed to be in some kind of self-destruct mode. He intentionally goes to where he has enemies. Enemies that are ready to kill him, and he knows they are. He barges into a place of worship and disrupts what's going on, calling them all a den of robbers, making more enemies, no doubt. He knows who's going to betray him and tells Judas to go ahead and do it. He sees his captors coming in Gethsemane, and he doesn't flee. He doesn't run away. He objects even when one of his friends jumps to his defense and strikes one of his would-be captors, cutting off the ear. And Jesus says, "That's not what I'm about. Put away your sword." And then in court hearings, he won't even speak up for himself. It's tough to follow a leader like this. He's abrasive when he should be silent. And when he should be defensive, he's silent. When he should be violent, he's passive. And when he should be, and he's angry and violent when others are doing what they call worship. I'm sure if Jesus was a kid in our neighborhoods, that all of our parents and all the other parents in that neighborhood would tell their children, "I don't want you hanging around with Mary and Joseph's boy. That kid's, he's trouble. He's always getting into stuff. He's always talking back when he shouldn't be. He won't stay with his parents when they're walking around. He spends the whole time up at the temple, and then his parents come looking for him, and he lectures them. He won't listen to anybody. The leaders try to tell him what to do. He won't listen. The authorities try to tell him what to do, and he won't listen to them. His mom even tells him what to do, and he won't listen to his mom. And eventually, that kid from the neighborhood, he gets what's coming to him. But that was Good Friday. Let's get back to Easter, okay? Let's not get too serious. We all need to breathe for a second, okay? Let's get back to Easter. Let's get back to this account of John and the resurrection of Jesus. Today, in the resurrection, we see Mary Magdalene being the forerunner. She's the one causing all the action. She's the one who gets up early in the morning, goes to the tomb, finds it empty, and then goes to get the other disciples because she doesn't quite know what to think of this. We have to remember, much like Charles Dickens begins his Christmas Carol with the fact that Marley was dead, this you must know. Otherwise, none of this will seem magical or wondrous. We must understand that Jesus was dead. We killed him. He died. Game over. So Mary goes to the tomb before sunrise, and she discovers Jesus' body isn't there. There's only one explanation for that. Somebody moved him. And she's upset. She runs to get Peter and John to let them know that someone has moved Jesus' body. Peter and John go in disbelief, I guess, running. And I love the part where John kind of gives a shout out to himself and says, you know, they're running together, but this one disciple who Jesus loved, outran the other disciple. But he wasn't the rude one to go into the tomb, right? He didn't disrupt Jesus' grave. He just kind of peeked in. And then Peter comes along and barges in. Anyway, that's a sidebar, but it's just a fun little, you know, fun little way that John talks about himself, right? What if we started talking about ourselves that way? It'd be like, you know, the one who everybody loves. Anyway, they go to inspect the scene, and they just leave. They just leave. And it tells us they didn't really understand. Maybe they were in shock, or maybe they were fearful if they stuck around too long, they would be identified as people that rubbed elbows with Jesus and therefore going to suffer the same fate. But I love what verse 9 says. "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he was to rise from the dead." And so the disciples go home, and the narrative returns to Mary, the true actor in this story, the one pushing us along. She stays at the tomb, goes in and cries. Did you have a moment this weekend when you cried? Did you have a moment when you realized what we've done and you cried? She cries, and then she encounters angels, and they ask her, "Why are you so upset?" And she tells them, "You see, they've moved my Lord's body, and I don't know where they've put him. That's why I'm upset. I've come here to tend to his body because we couldn't do it when he died. We had to take the Sabbath day of rest. And I'm here to tend for the body, and I cannot find my Lord." Then she encounters Christ, but doesn't recognize him. Christ asks her, "What's wrong? What are you so upset about?" And she tells him again, "Sir, if you've moved him, if you're the one," thinking you must be the gardener, "if you're the one who's moved him, then tell me where you've moved him and I will go get him. I'll take care of it. If there's a problem here, I'll take care of it." And then Jesus speaks her name, Mary. And then she recognizes him. Have you heard your name spoken? Have you heard Christ calling your name this morning? Have you recognized that you are encountering not a dead body, but a living, breathing, speaking Lord? And then Jesus' next words are even more important. "Don't hold on to me. Don't hold on to me. I still have to ascend to the Father. I've still got work to do, and you do too. My work is to ascend to the Father, and your work is to go tell other people what you've encountered. Go tell my friends. Go tell Peter, John, and the other disciples." I find this scene featuring Mary fascinating. It shows how Jesus surprises people. He told all those people who were there that morning what was going to happen, and they still don't understand. They still don't know what to expect. They're still upset by the fact that Jesus isn't where we put him. It's surprising. It's confusing. It's tough to follow. To use a word that would score high in Words with Friends, it's vexing. Triple word, score that one and you're really talking points. I think I love Mary's interaction with Jesus and with the angels because she reveals so much of what following Jesus is like. It's confusing. It's upsetting. It's tough. It's difficult to follow Jesus, especially when you can't find him. Mostly because Jesus is alive. Jesus is living and moving and doing and breathing. And Jesus is still that same kid in the neighborhood that's getting into no good, doing things that nobody's ever seen before. I love referring to the church as the body of Christ. It helps to see the ways that you and I sitting in this room are connected. And it helps us to see the ways in which this church, this worshiping body, is related to the worshiping body across the street and across this street and down this street and across town and in other cities and in other states and countries. We are all part of this body. One body. Made of many members. But I think it's difficult sometimes for us to truly grasp what that means. To truly get our minds around the fact that this doesn't always depend on us. You see, I have this bad habit that I want to be in control. And I want to know stuff. I'm curious. And when I don't know stuff, I want to find out about it. And when something's going on in the church that I don't know about, it irritates me. Because I don't know. And sometimes it irritates me because people come asking me questions and I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what the theme for VBS is this year. That's not really my department. Don't be offended. We all have our work to do. But it's tough because we want to know. We want to keep tabs on this body of Christ. We know where we put Jesus. I'm going to lay him right here. Hang tight. I'll be back tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. That's the Sabbath. I'll be back the day after that. And when we come back, it was just here. Somebody must have moved it. I know I put it right here. We're all having that conversation about our keys or our wallets or our purses or whatever it is that you lose or misplace or someone moves. And then you just feel yourself getting upset. You see, it's difficult because sometimes I think that myself as a part of the body of Christ has to know exactly what's going on in every part of the body. When really I might just be the very edge of the pinky nail. And does it really matter? Should I really have to be the one okaying the decision for the toe to scratch the leg? It's frustrating though. It's frustrating because Jesus isn't where you put him. He's always getting into something, isn't he? We come on Easter with Mary. We come looking for a dead body. And we find an empty tomb. And then we encounter this living, breathing, moving, doing God. And like Mary, we find ourselves immediately saying, no, 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 this is not the way it was supposed to be. I put it right here. It's supposed to wait for me to come back. And then we can start getting down to business. Jesus is in the tomb. Jesus is in the tomb, and this is a very tempting God to have. A God that we can enclose and box up and leave and know where we're going to find that God when we come back. It's really tempting. It's really tempting if you've got control issues like I do. I hope I'm not alone in that. But the tomb is empty. We can't contain Jesus. We can't ever fully understand what God is up to in the person and the work and in the body of Christ. And not understanding fully, that's also frustrating. We can't wrap our minds fully around God. And so we can't expect that we ourselves are powerful enough to subdue, to bind this God, to leave this God in a place that we're comfortable with, that we know about. We tried that. We can't make Jesus do what we want. We already tried that. We killed him. He died. And the tomb was still empty. Jesus was still moving around. Jesus was still telling us what to do rather than listening to us tell him, don't hold on to me. I've got work to do. So do you. So this morning, if you've got your worship guide with you, open it up to the front page. You'll see there an image of an eye peering through a spyglass, peering through a magnifying glass. What are you looking for? What are you looking for this morning? Did you come expecting to find Jesus where you left him? Did you come expecting last year's Jesus to be just like this year's Jesus on Easter morning? And when you encounter the risen Christ, one that's going and doing, what's your reaction? Are you looking for a dead body that requires other people to move it? Or are you looking for a risen God? A God that is active. A God that cannot be contained. A risen Savior that moves in unexpected ways and without our permission and makes it really, really difficult to follow. In the weeks to come, we're going to continue this Easter season. Easter is going to take us almost all the way to Father's Day. We'll be talking about Easter for a while now, because it's a big deal. We're going to be talking in the coming weeks, we're starting a new series called Signs of Life. And we're going to be talking about all the ways in which we encounter the life of Christ post-mortem. After death, but after resurrection. What are the ways in which Jesus is living and moving and doing? And yes, maybe even getting on our nerves a little bit, making us uncomfortable. So, I hope that this Easter season, you will come looking not for a God that's dead and stays where you want, where you put, and where you leave that God. I hope you'll come looking not for a dying church, but for one that is moving as best it knows how to be the body, to follow this guy who's so tough to follow, and to love this God whose love we will never truly understand. Because as of yet, we don't understand that he was to rise from the dead. I hope you'll come expecting to find a congregation attempting to follow a risen Savior. To follow this risen Lord. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. We haven't gotten to say that word in a while, and it feels real good to say it today. Will you pray with me?